Directions Media. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 29th, 2008. Each week we address the latest in geospatial technology news and applications. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, and I'm joined by my colleague, Idina Schutzberg. Today we want to know if you can think spatially or whether you're just following the user manual. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Experience the geographic advantage with ESRI's ArcGIS server, a comprehensive platform for cost-effectively delivering enterprise GIS applications. Learn more about ArcGIS server at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Idina, years ago when I started out in GIS, I worked for the Aerospace Center and the U.S. Geological Survey in raster image classification. I learned kind of typical raster image modeling. There wasn't any book to follow other than the large manuals that told us how to construct mathematical functions in image processing. We kind of learned from each other. And what we would typically do is we'd classify an image, we'd look for some feature or extract a feature, but then what we'd do, we'd remodel it. We'd assign some numerical value to each of the features, and we would try to use our own discipline background. As a geologist, we were either classifying rock formations or soil, and so we would typically try to reassign a rock classification to just a value, a simple 1, 2, 3, 4, and then when we would get all of these layers together, you know, whatever we were looking for, whether it was a formation or whether it was interaction with topography or even soils or vegetation, we would try to think of a model. And we would almost wonder if we would be able to predict the model before we'd look at it. So there was some spatial thinking involved before we got to the point where we would do a simple sum of all the layers, hoping to find at the very end when we'd sum all these up that we'd see a hotspot. We'd see the higher numerical value jump out at us and give us some result. That was a very simple model, a simple way of thinking spatially. Years later, I worked for a company called TIDAC. That's an acronym. It stands for Typical Digital Automatic Computer. The tagline of the company was called Thinking Spatially. The software employed what was called a quadtree data model, and for those unaware of what quadtrees are, it's just an indexing method for storing data. But we had to know a little something about the model before we went off and used it. And typically back in those days, we were looking at more business applications. So in order to employ the model, in order to think a little bit, we had to kind of construct a phrase, or we had to construct an idea of what this model would eventually look like. We did have to think spatially. So whether we were constructing a query such as show me where all of the 24 to 35-year-old people were who bought HDTVs and maybe who commuted 30 minutes to work, and we'd say, oh, well, okay, here's potential subscriber to satellite radio, for example. So we had to get into it a little bit more than just looking at the function in the user manual to be able to find a result. But we've come quite a bit down the road, you know, since I started in the early 80s, you started in the later 80s. What do you think's changed now for those who are just starting out? You know, has the software gotten to the point where those coming out of school with a GIS concentration are just following a cookbook or for doing maps analysis? Where do you think we are in this?
I think we're at certainly a different place than we were, just because the software has changed, as you suggested. I can't fault the institutions that are doing the teaching, because they really try hard to make sure that the ideas behind get taught. So if you're in a typical geography program, you're going to take some basic courses where you're going to learn about cartography, and you're going to learn about basic spatial analysis, and you're going to have to interpret some map. And I fear what's happening is that once you move beyond that and start learning the software, that, in a sense, gets thrown to the wayside, in part because a lot of what you're asked to do is the sort of mechanical stuff that comes before that. And not that that's not important. It's absolutely important, because you can't do the analysis unless you have the data in the right form and so forth. But it feels like we're spending more time on those aspects of it than we are on the analytics. I'll bring up a story from my past. When I started at ESRI, having had no background with the software, the very first thing I had to do was take the ArcInfo course, which at that time was a week long, and this was back when you pretty much drove ArcInfo with a command line. It was really challenging because we were working on Unix. Most of us weren't familiar with Unix, and you had to type in these long strings of words. But I think we did pretty well. We got the gist of it. Now, the final project came, and I think we were asked to, you know, find a location for something. The instructors were terrific, and they made it very clear that what was important was thinking through how you were going to get to the answer. And they asked that we pay less attention to typing in the command, which was all well and good, but of course, you weren't going to find out whether you had a successful plan unless you actually did type in all those commands and come out with a map at the other end. So I think we were sort of pushed, while we wanted to do the analytical part, we were sort of pushed into the doing the cookbook part and typing in all the long strings of commands. So the next question I'd ask is, what proportion of the folks who are doing GIS out in the world are really doing that analytical part versus preparing data or updating parcel information? That's not particularly analytical.
That's a fair question. And when you were talking, it brought to mind a disconnect that I see, which is, are we training too many in classical GIS and not taking or leveraging the specialty or the discipline of what they were trained in or what they could be trained in? For example, my training is in geology. The people I worked with at Aeros were trained as soil scientists and biologists. They weren't GIS practitioners per se. I mean, again, we were all learning back in the early 80s, but our discipline was something other than GIS. We learned our discipline before we learned how to use the computer to analyze. And I'm wondering if there's a disconnect now between what we are training our GIS people to do and the discipline that would help them think more spatially.
To answer that question, you really have to go to those different departments. I think in a GIS or geography department, where one of the goals is to create folks who can go out into the workforce and do GIS, you might get one answer. I spoke with a student just last week in New York State who is a biologist, and I said, "So how did you get to GIS?" And her response, I thought was terrific. It was like, "Well, I was in the biology department, you know, we did field biology," and she said, "And because I was the one who was interested in GIS, I was basically teaching the instructors about GIS." So in a sense, she was doing it in exactly parallel to the way that you did it, which was she was a biologist first, and then she used these tools. Out in the disciplines, in forestry and field biology and business, I get a sense that there you're learning those ways of looking at the world, and then you pick up this tool called GIS. In geography, it may be a little bit different.
But if I'm a classically trained geographer, I would think there'd be a closer association. One of the books that was kind of my Bible in the days when I switched from being a geologist to doing more business geography was a book called Location Strategies for Retail and Service Firms. Many people would know it. It's a book by Gosch and McLafferty. This was a book strictly on spatial interaction models. And there wasn't much GIS here, but what it was trying to teach you was classic modeling and ways to think spatially. There was a lot of emphasis on understanding the Huff model, which is a classic spatial interaction model of attractiveness. You know, what's attractive about this retail area that's going to draw people in here? And it actually was, many people for years misnamed it as a gravity model. Gravity model's a little something different, implies something unusual. It was classic geography. It wasn't GIS, but later on, all of these models were being incorporated into GIS systems. The Tidex system had something called a pot map or a potential map. Recently, we heard that ESRI is employing spatial regression models. So there's more of these classic geographic models that are being stuffed into the software, and I don't know where that leads. It kind of puts an emphasis on us to get trained in kind of classic geographic modeling and then a way to apply that model.
I think that's what may be the thing that differentiates, in a sense, who you might hire. If you were in a situation of hiring somebody who either knew GIS or knew the underlying models, because in a sense, getting somebody who can push the buttons in the right order, you know, that's one skill set. But having somebody who can think through which model to use in which situation is quite different.
So are we at that point? I mean, there's a lot of book learning. I mean, you taught a course last term. I mean, what's the sense you get from some of the students that do you feel like they're doing too much button pushing, or are they giving given enough time to actually think about what they're doing?
Well, my students are already professionals in doing GIS for the most part. So they're sort of a special subset because they're already doing it. I would say, though, that their understanding of GIS is and geography is very much tied to the experience of sitting in front of a GIS. I don't think they've thought about it outside of having a computer tool in front of them. And that's a little bit scary because I think one of the things that happens when you're trained as a geographer is – and I'm going to go right back to, you know, the first course I took, which is that you learn about this way of looking at the world. And you, in a sense, you start seeing geography everywhere. And that's how you practice it. When you go out in the world, you practice geography. So you start doing things like, wow, if I turn the corner in this big city, what kind of stores should I expect to see? Am I going to see big retail stores? Am I going to see, lots of little shops? Am I going to see gas stations? And you start to learn how the world is organized because you're looking for it. If you don't do that, and you only look at the world through this lens of the GIS, through the tool, I think you don't get to practice those kinds of things.
Yeah, and I think that leads back to what were you trained in originally, or what was your interest in during your college careers? Was it in a physical geography discipline? Was it in a physical science like geology? I would hate to see that we would train people in GIS without having a discipline, without having them understand some element of the world around them, you know, whatever that may be. And I think you raise a good point about you start looking at things geographically and spatially. So you would hopefully bring that experience back to the computer and say, now I want to perform this function to see if that's really true. And your other point was well taken. Back in the day, we had a long command line. Now it's essentially, I'm going to go through this wizard and pick out this function, and let's see what it does. It is going to be trial and error, but maybe it's a little easier to do trial and error these days with the wizard.
Perhaps. And actually, one more anecdote from my class. I had one student who actually came from the outside world who had no GIS experience whatsoever. It was an interesting case. But he was a sharp guy and picked things up. And the biggest challenge that he had was he knew in his head what it was he wanted to do. In a sense, he had the steps laid out of what he wanted to do. The hardest thing for him was, how do I figure out which commands and what they're called in the software to do that? So in a sense, it was a translation problem. It was a language problem. And I thought that was really telling because it led me to believe that he really understood the underlying analysis question that he was trying to get at. But and that the which buttons you push part was sort of secondary.
Well, that's a perfect example, actually. That's exactly what we tend to bring into the field is that you come from some discipline and then you're sat down in front of a computer and you don't exactly know what you're doing there. You know, what buttons do I push? You know, how does this thing work?
How do I make it do what I, you know, I'm calling the shots. I'm going to tell it what to do, but I have to learn how to tell it. It's really an interesting question, and I think it's going to become more and more interesting as we move into the coming years and we find ourselves in situations where we need more geospatial practitioners. What are they? Do they know how to push buttons, or do they know how to drive analysis? What are the skills that they really need?
Well, that's probably a good place to stop, and we're certainly curious as to your suggestions or what your feedback is about this whole issue. So please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com if you got some thoughts on this. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that the Java 1 2008 conference will be in San Francisco on May the 6th to the 9th. See the latest GIS technology, including Java developer tools, demoed at the ESRI booth 1112, that's 1112. For more information, please visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. Thanks again for joining us this week, and be sure to tell a friend.